Ever notice how some people just seem to handle life's curveballs really well, even if they're not, the absolute smartest person in the room?
Yeah, it's something you see all the time. Talent or raw intelligence isn't the whole picture.
Exactly. There's this other skill, maybe a bit underappreciated. We call it emotional intelligence or EQ. You hear about IQ all the time, right? Brain power. But EQ, that's where things get really interesting for actual success in life.
It really is. EQ is about knowing your own feelings, managing them effectively, and crucially, using that understanding to connect with other people.
It feels like the real key sometimes, the hidden advantage in, pretty much everything.
It's fascinating, actually. You often see incredibly bright people, high IQ folks, who kind of struggle when it comes to navigating relationships or just keeping their cool under pressure.
Their smarts open doors, maybe, but the EQ, that seems to dictate how far they actually know, how fulfilling that journey is.
That's a great way to put it.
And that's exactly what we're diving deep into today, emotional intelligence. Our mission here, pretty simple, really. We want to help you tap into your own EQ.
You need the tools.
The tools to become more self-aware, maybe more empathetic, ultimately just more in control of your own emotional world. And that can totally transform how you interact with people, personally, professionally, everywhere.
So if you've ever felt like, your emotions are a bit of a mystery sometimes,
Or struggled to really get where someone else is coming from.
or maybe social situations feel a bit like walking through a minefield occasionally.
Then, you're definitely in the right place.
It really begs the question, doesn't it? How often do you feel that gap between understanding something intellectually and, well, actually handling the emotional side of it effectively?
Oh, totally. All the time.
Well, this deep dive is really designed to help bridge exactly that gap.
Okay, so what's the plan? We're going to break down what EQ really is. We'll dig into the five core components. That's self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and those crucial social skills.
And why they matter, each one.
Absolutely. We'll also touch on some of the science, the research behind it, especially Daniel Goleman's work. He really brought EQ into the spotlight, didn't he?
He did, arguing it's often more important than IQ for, actual life success.
Okay, let's jump in. Chapter one, understanding emotional intelligence. So at its heart, EQ is what? The ability to recognize, understand, and manage your own emotions.
Yes, and crucially, the emotions of others too, and then using that awareness to manage interactions successfully.
It's not just about being in touch with your feelings, then.
Not just that, no. It's more about navigating those feelings, yours and theirs, intelligently, skillfully. So you get, hopefully, positive outcomes for everyone involved, using emotional information wisely.
Okay, using it wisely. Like, think about the power of just pausing for a second instead of just reacting when you feel that flare-up of anger or frustration.
Huge. That pause, that moment to reflect and choose your response. That's a cornerstone of EQ.
But it's not just about managing yourself, is it? You mentioned others' emotions.
Right, it's a two-way street. Empathy is the other massive piece. That ability to genuinely understand how someone else is feeling.
To see things from their perspective.
Exactly. Which is fundamental if you want strong relationships, effective communication, if you want to resolve conflicts without, burning bridges.
Collaboration, too, I imagine.
Absolutely. Successful collaboration relies heavily on understanding where your colleagues are coming from emotionally.
So, developing your EQ, it has knock-on effects.
Oh, definitely. A powerful ripple effect. You'll likely see improvements in relationships, sure, but also work performance, even your overall health and sense of, well, happiness.
People feel more centered.
Confident.
Often, yes. More in control, less tossed around by their emotions or circumstances.
And the really good news here is it's not fixed, right? You're not just stuck with the EQ you were born with.
Not at all. That's key.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a skill. And like any skill, it can be developed, strengthened at any age.
Which is pretty encouraging. And as you develop it, those positive ripples just spread out further. They do, affecting almost every interaction, every decision.
Okay, so you mentioned five core components. Let's quickly map those out. First up, self-awareness.
That's recognizing and understanding your own emotions as they happen, being tuned in.
Then self-regulation.
That's managing your emotional responses, especially when things get stressful, controlling impulses, staying calm.
Okay. Number three is motivation.
Right. Using your emotions to stay focused on goals, stay positive, push through setbacks. It's that internal drive.
Got it. Fourth.
Empathy. understanding and, crucially, sharing the feelings of others. Feeling with them, not just for them. Goleman really emphasized this one.
And the last one, social skills.
Yeah, these are the skills for managing relationships effectively, communicating clearly, resolving conflict, teamwork, reading nonverbal cues, the whole package for interacting well.
And these aren't separate boxes, are they? They must all link together.
Oh, absolutely interconnected. Think about it. You can't really regulate an emotion if you aren't even aware you're feeling it, right?
True. Self-awareness comes first.
Often, yes. It's the foundation for self-regulation.
Hmm.
And empathy. Well, it's much harder to genuinely connect with someone else's feelings if you're completely overwhelmed by your own.
So regulating yourself helps you be more empathetic. Makes sense. Okay, so why does this EQ stuff actually matter day to day?
Well, think about leadership, for instance. Managing people, motivating them, dealing with disagreements. Mm-hmm. It's all fundamentally emotional work.
If your EQ is low, you struggle.
Big time. Communication breaks down.
Yeah.
Maybe you make bad decisions under pressure. You just can't navigate those tricky interpersonal dynamics. You miss the core of effective leadership, connecting with people.
Yeah, personally. And relationships.
Same principle, really. Understanding your partner's feelings, your kids, your friends, responding appropriately. It builds stronger connections. Avoids so much unnecessary drama.
Yeah, it prevents misunderstandings escalating.
It really is the key to deeper, more fulfilling relationships. It's not just a nice-to-have skill.
It feels like a necessity, almost, whether you're leading a company or just, you know, managing family life. The better you understand yourself and others emotionally, the better you'll do.
You'll thrive more, definitely.
And there's actual science backing this up. It's not just pop psychology.
Oh, no, there's extensive research, decades of it now. Studies consistently link higher EQ with better mental health, stronger relationships, more career success.
And Goleman's point was that it's often more predictive than IQ.
Exactly. He argued EQ is critical for managing stress, making sound decisions, overall well-being, often more so than raw intellect.
And it connects to the brain, how we function.
Yes. It's tied to how our brains regulate emotions, how we process feelings with clarity. Developing EQ actually helps your brain get better at managing emotions, yours and others.
Okay, fascinating. Let's move into chapter two then. Self-awareness. You said it's the cornerstone.
It absolutely is. Let's paint a picture. Imagine waking up feeling restless, edgy. You can't quite put your finger on why.
Okay. Deadlines maybe? A little tiff with someone?
Could be anything. But that vague feeling just festers.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're snapping at your partner, totally unintentionally. Your emotions are just driving the bus.
Been there. Okay, scenario one.
Now, scenario two. Same restless, agitated feeling when you wake up. But this time, you pause. Take a breath. Tune in.
You notice the feeling.
You notice it. You recognize, okay, I'm feeling frustrated. Mm-hmm. Maybe you even identify a couple of reasons why. But instead of letting it take over, you choose.
Choose how to handle it.
Right. Maybe you decide to talk about it calmly later, or just acknowledge the stress and consciously decide not to let it ruin your day. The difference.
Self-awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the first case, you're reacting on autopilot.
Yeah.
In the second, you have agency because you recognize your emotional state and understood its roots a bit.
It's the starting point for everything else.
It provides that essential foundation. Observe the emotion, understand why it's there, then choose your response.
Yeah.
Not being carried away by it.
And it's not about judging yourself for feeling bad.
Not at all. It's about becoming a neutral observer of your inner world. That creates the space for choice.
And it's a skill we can all build on.
Absolutely. And once you start, it can be genuinely transformative. How you handle challenges, stress, interactions, it all starts to shift.
Okay, let's nail down the definition. Self-awareness is recognizing and understanding emotions as they happen, paying attention to what you feel, why, and how it affects your thoughts and actions.
But it's deeper than just saying I'm happy or I'm mad. It's observing without judgment, seeing the emotion objectively, understanding its deeper roots.
It sounds simple, but is it? How often do we really stop and pay attention?
That's the crucial question. Most of us, I think, just react. We don't often pause to consider why we feel a certain way.
We're on autopilot.
A lot of the time, yes.
Yeah.
Self-awareness asks us to pause that autopilot, to get curious about our own emotions.
Asking those why questions. Why am I feeling this? What triggered it? How's it affecting me?
Precisely. And when you start doing that consistently, you begin to see patterns.
Ah, okay. Like, oh, this kind of situation always makes me anxious. Or talking to that person always leaves me feeling drained.
Exactly. You see your triggers. You see how your emotions have been driving your decisions, maybe unconsciously. And that's when you can start making more conscious choices.
And you said it's the bedrock of EQ. Without it, the other stuff doesn't really work.
How can it? How do you regulate an emotion you don't recognize? How do you empathize if you're clueless about your own feelings? It's like trying to navigate without knowing where you are on the map.
Right. You need that starting point.
If you don't know what's going on inside you, responding effectively to the outside world is incredibly difficult.
And the benefits go beyond just managing emotions.
Oh, yeah. Better self-awareness means a clearer understanding of your values, your strengths, your weaknesses, too, your blind spots.
Which helps with decision making.
Absolutely. You know what truly matters to you so you can prioritize better. Align your actions with your values.
And relationships must improve, too.
Definitely. The better you understand yourself, the better you can communicate your needs and understand others' feelings. It's not about being perfect or never feeling bad.
No, it's about healthier ways to deal with the emotions that inevitably come up.
Exactly. Constructive ways.
And in the workplace. Self-aware leaders.
They're gold. They manage their own emotions under pressure, make more rational decisions. They're also more likely to recognize their own biases.
Leading to fairer decisions.
Typically, yes. And better collaboration. Self-aware people generally have more fulfilling personal relationships, too. Clearer communication, easier conflict navigation.
Okay, so how do we actually do this? How do we cultivate self-awareness?
Great question. It takes practice, like any skill. Journaling is a really powerful tool.
Just writing stuff down.
Yeah, just dedicating a little time each day. Jot down thoughts, feelings, reflect on emotional moments, what happened, why you felt that way, how you reacted. No need for perfect sentences, just getting it out.
And that helps you see patterns.
Over time, absolutely. You spot those recurring triggers, those consistent responses. That awareness lets you anticipate things better, make more intentional choices next time.
Makes sense. What else?
Mindfulness is another fantastic tool. Paying attention to the present moment without judgment.
So when a strong emotion comes up,
you learn to just observe it. Breathe. Notice the physical sensations. Where do you feel it in your body? Try to understand its origin without getting swept away. Ask, why this feeling? What do I need right now?
And it helps with thoughts, too. Noticing how thoughts fuel emotions.
Big time. Mindfulness makes you aware of those thought patterns and gives you the power to choose more helpful, positive ones.
Okay. What about feedback? Asking others?
Yes. Incredibly valuable. We often don't see ourselves clearly. Asking trusted people, friends, family, colleagues for honest feedback can be eye-opening.
Like, how do I generally come across calm, reactive?
Exactly. Do I communicate clearly or bottle things up? It might be uncomfortable sometimes, but honest feedback is priceless for uncovering blind spots.
And you mentioned emotional check-ins.
Simple but effective. Just pausing a few times a day. Ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Tense, happy, anxious.
Set a reminder on your phone.
Sure, or link it to routines, waking up, lunchtime, bedtime. The goal is real-time awareness. Catching emotions before they escalate helps maintain balance.
And finally, core values. How does that link to self-awareness?
Well, self-awareness isn't just emotions. It's knowing what truly matters to you. Understanding your core values helps guide your decisions. When your actions align with your values, you feel more authentic, more fulfilled.
Okay, so self-awareness, the gateway. The first crucial step to managing emotions, building better relationships, living more authentically.
That's it. It's not about achieving perfection, just continuous progress, getting better each day at understanding your inner world.
So once we have that awareness, the next step is managing those emotions, which brings us to chapter 3, self-regulation.
Right. Imagine that tense work meeting again. Someone says something that really gets under your skin.
Okay. Old me might snap back. Say something regrettable.
Exactly. The whole conversation goes off the rails. But the regulated you, you pause.
Feel the frustration, but don't act on it immediately.
Right. You take that deep breath. Focus on it for a second. Let the initial intensity fade just a bit. Then you choose a calm, clear response. Steer things back productively.
Yeah. That's flexing the self-regulation muscle. Managing, not denying.
Precisely. And that's a huge part of EQ, isn't it? Not being emotionless, but mastering your emotions so they serve you, not the other way around.
So self-regulation is managing emotions, especially in tough spots, to respond calmly and effectively.
It's about taking conscious control of how you show up, choosing your response, not letting emotions dictate.
It sounds like a superpower, honestly. Staying composed, making better decisions, avoiding regrets.
It is powerful. And again, the best part, it's learnable, a skill you can build.
Okay, let's break it down. Self-regulation at its core is managing emotional responses and stress. controlling impulses, staying calm under pressure.
All of that, avoiding those outbursts that damage things. It's the opposite of letting emotions hijack your actions.
It gives you that space to step back before acting.
Yes, to recognize emotions building and choose to channel them constructively.
And it's not just negative emotions like anger. What about, like, excessive excitement?
Good point. It applies there, too. Managing positive emotions helps avoid impulsivity, maintain balance. You might be thrilled about something, but self-regulation stops you making rash commitments without thinking it through.
Right. But some people might ask, why control natural emotions?
It's a fair question. It's not about not feeling. It's about choosing your response. Life throws curveball stress, difficult people, conflict. If raw emotion drives your every move in those moments,
you might act against your values, damage relationships, sabotage your goals.
Exactly. Self-regulation allows your response to align with your values and long-term well-being, not just temporary feelings.
Like that colleague conflict example, anger escalates things. Regulation allows for respectful discussion, finding solutions.
Precisely. And think about the ripple effects again. In leadership, calm under pressure means sound judgment, positive environment.
Personally, more empathy, better understanding in relationships.
Yes. And mentally, managing stress, anxiety, anger. It's crucial for well-being.
So it builds resilience too, helps you bounce back.
Definitely. You maintain more emotional equilibrium. So the big question, how do we get better at it?
Yeah, how do we build this skill?
Okay, good news again, totally doable. It's about managing, not suppressing. One of the simplest, most powerful tools. Practice the pause.
Just stopping for a second.
Exactly. When things get heated, our instinct is often instant reaction. But pausing, even for a few seconds, creates vital space between the feeling and the action.
Gives you time to assess, think, choose a response aligned with your goals.
Yes. Next time you feel that heat rising, just try it. Stop, breathe deep, count to five even. It's surprisingly effective for recentering.
Okay, the pause. What else?
Reframing your thoughts. This is powerful. Often, it's our interpretation of an event, not just the event itself, that triggers the emotion.
Like the traffic example. Someone cuts you off, you think, you feel anger.
Right. But you could reframe it. Maybe they're rushing for an emergency, or maybe they just didn't see me. Shifting the thought reduces the emotional charge.
Lets you stay calmer. See the bigger picture. Focus on what you can control.
Exactly. It's about actively shifting your mindset, not being a victim of your initial interpretation.
Grounding techniques. What are those?
When emotions are really high, grounding helps bring you back to the present moment using your senses.
Wow.
Focus on physical sensations. Feel your feet on the floor. Notice your breathing. Listen to the sounds around you. It pulls you out of the overwhelming swirl of thoughts in your head and back into your body. Gives you more control.
And building on self-awareness, recognizing emotions as they start.
Crucial. Self-regulation starts with noticing. Pay attention to those physical cues. Tight chest for anger, clenched jaw, tense hands.
The body's warning signals.
Yes. Catch them early before escalation, then you can intervene deep breaths, maybe progressive muscle relaxation to ease the physical tension.
Makes sense. And managing stress generally, since that's a big trigger for reactivity.
Absolutely essential. Regular stress relief, deep breathing, meditation, exercise keeps you calmer overall. A relaxed baseline means you're less likely to overreact when stress hits.
So incorporating those into your routine proactively.
Yes. And finally, develop healthy coping strategies. This isn't just about the heat of the moment, but building long-term resilience.
Like what?
Talking to trusted friends, journaling to process feelings, engaging in grounding hobbies like yoga, art, music. Having positive outlets makes you better equipped to handle difficult emotions when they arise.
Okay, lots of practical tools there. Now, let's shift gears to chapter four, motivation. That feeling when you know what to do, but just can't seem to start.
Yes, feeling stuck. We've all been there. Wondering if motivation is just this fickle thing that comes and goes.
Right. Is it just luck?
Well, that's the misconception. Motivation isn't just passive. It's actually a core pillar of EQ, something you can actively cultivate and harness to drive you forward.
It's not just waiting for inspiration to strike.
Not at all. True motivation isn't about chasing highs. It's about aligning actions with deeply held values, creating a sustainable inner engine.
Okay, so motivation is the energy that makes you act, set goals, push through obstacles and doubts.
Precisely. It's the fuel, whether it's a tough project or just battling self-doubt. And in this part, we'll look at how to build lasting motivation.
Not just fleeting desire.
Right. Understanding the deeper emotional drivers behind what you want and tapping into them.
Okay, so let's define it. Motivation is that emotional drive towards a goal, the energy moving you from thought to action.
That's a good way to put it. Fitness, career, relationships, it applies everywhere.
Mm.
But it's not monolithic. There are different types.
Oh, like what?
Psychologists often talk about two main types. First, intrinsic motivation.
Coming from within.
Exactly. You do something because you find it inherently rewarding or fulfilling, like painting for the joy of it, not for pay or praise.
And that's more sustainable.
Generally, yes. It's tied to your own values and interests.
And the other type?
Extrinsic motivation. This comes from outside factors. Seeking external rewards, a bonus, a promotion, or avoiding punishment.
Like working hard on a project to get that raise.
Right. It can be effective short term, but often less sustainable. If the reward disappears, the motivation might too.
So intrinsic is generally more powerful long term when it aligns with your values, gives you that sense of purpose.
Often, yes. Though extrinsic motivators' deadlines, accountability recognition can definitely play a supporting role. They can help keep you focused.
So it's about finding a balance and really understanding your why, that deeper reason.
Exactly. That why is key for lasting motivation, especially when things get tough.
Okay, so why is motivation so vital for EQ? How does it fit in?
It's the driving force.
Yeah.
It influences how you respond to emotions, set goals, maintain focus. Without motivation, the other EQ components, they lose impact.
How so? Give me an example.
Okay, you've got great self-awareness. You know you're stressed. You got self-regulation. You can calm down. Fantastic. But if you're not motivated to do anything about the source of the stress or to work towards your goals despite the stress,
then awareness and regulation don't actually achieve much in the real world.
Precisely. Motivation bridges emotional control and a real-world success. It keeps you moving forward.
And it helps maintain a positive mindset, seeing challenges as opportunities.
Yes. It fuels persistence.
Yeah.
And persistence, as we know, is often the key difference maker.
Let's touch on the science. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. How does that relate?
It's a really useful framework. Maslow suggested we're motivated by layers of needs, from basic survival up to more complex psychological ones.
Yeah.
Five levels.
Okay, level one.
Physiological needs, basic survival, food, water, shelter.
Level two.
Safety needs, security, stability, physical and emotional.
Three.
Love and belonging. Connection, relationships, community. We're social creatures.
Four.
Esteem needs. Respect from self and others. Recognition, achievement, feeling competent.
And the top.
Self-actualization, personal growth, creativity, reaching your full potential, the drive to become your best self.
So Maslow shows motivation isn't just about external rewards, but fulfilling these deeper needs, moving from survival towards self-fulfillment.
Exactly. And that connection to self-actualization, growth, learning, authenticity, that's often the source of the most meaningful, unshakable, long-term motivation.
So the secret is tapping into what truly matters to you at that deep level.
That's often where the most resilient motivation lies, identifying that deeper desire.
Okay, practicalities. How do we actually cultivate this lasting motivation?
Right, the how-to. It's not magic. It's about nurturing it. One big strategy. Set clear, meaningful goals.
Specific goals. Aligned with values.
Yes. Vague goals like get fitter are less motivating than specific ones like exercise 30 minutes is 3 times a week for better energy.
Yeah.
Specificity helps track progress, which fuels motivation. And the goal needs to resonate with you, with your purpose.
And finding your why, we keep coming back to that.
Because it's crucial. Why do you really want this goal? Connecting it to a deeper emotional driver, family, health, impact, creates a stronger pull, especially through tough times.
Like, the career goal isn't just the title, it's providing for family or personal growth.
Exactly. That deeper why is your anchor.
Okay. What about big, scary goals? They can feel overwhelming.
Good point. Overwhelm kills motivation. So break big goals down into smaller, manageable steps. Focus on the immediate next step, not the giant endpoint.
Like writing a book becomes writing 500 words today.
Precisely. Completing small tasks builds momentum, keeps motivation high.
And celebrating progress, even small wins.
Yes. Motivation thrives on momentum. Acknowledge those milestones. A small reward, just taking a moment to recognize how far you've come. It reinforces the positive behavior, keeps you believing.
What about accountability? Telling someone your goals.
Very powerful. Sharing with a friend, family member, colleague. Mm. It increases commitment. Regular check-ins provide support, especially when you wobble. Knowing someone's expecting an update gives you that extra push.
Okay, so motivation. Fuel for goals. Actively cultivate it. Align with values. Find the why, break it down, celebrate progress, get accountable. Tap into those emotional drivers.
You got it. It builds a steady stream of motivation to carry you through.
All right, let's move to chapter 5, empathy. This feels like the real heart of EQ, doesn't it?
It really does. Imagine really truly listening to a friend who's hurting. Not just hearing words, but almost feeling it with them.
Putting yourself in their shoes, seeing it from their angle.
That's the essence of it. Not just intellectual understanding, but emotional resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, in the EQ framework, it's often seen as the core.
Connecting on that deeper level, beyond surface chat, grasping their experience, perspective, needs.
And Goldman's research really highlighted it as a cornerstone for strong relationships, didn't it? It's not just a soft skill.
Definitely not. It builds trust. Better communication, stronger connections. So this chapter is about how empathy works, why it's crucial, and how we can all get better at it.
Exactly. Because the good news is, like the other components, empathy can be developed. It's not fixed.
Okay, so at its core, empathy is understanding and sharing another's feelings. Feeling their joy, sadness, fear, frustration.
Yes, that emotional resonance. But interestingly, experts often talk about three distinct types of empathy.
Oh, what are they?
First, there's cognitive empathy. This is more intellectual, understanding someone's thoughts, their perspective, their reasoning.
Grasping why they feel a certain way, understanding where they're coming from.
Exactly. Really helpful for problem solving, negotiation.
Okay, type two.
Emotional empathy. This is feeling what they feel, connecting on that deeper emotional level, feeling their sadness almost as your own.
Creates a stronger bond, shows genuine care.
Yes. And the third type is compassionate empathy.
Taking action.
Right. Understanding and feeling, plus being moved to help alleviate their suffering or support their happiness. It drives helping behavior, a kind word, listening, practical support.
And EQ involves a blend of all three, responding in a way that builds connection and trust.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
Moving beyond just surface interaction to truly engage.
So why is empathy so critical for overall EQ?
Because it directly impacts connection, social navigation, communication. Without it, misunderstandings, failing to see emotional needs, conflict, weak relationships.
It's foundational for trust, then. Feeling understood, seen, heard.
Absolutely. That's what makes people open up, collaborate. Trust is the bedrock. Empathy builds it, both personally and professionally.
And in the workplace, for leaders.
Essential. Motivating teams, recognizing struggles, offering support, creating a positive environment. Empathetic leaders do this better. They're also better at conflict resolution. Fostering inclusivity leads to higher engagement.
And conflict resolution generally. Empathy helps see both sides, reduces misunderstanding, finds common ground.
Yes, it transforms tense situations. Instead of escalating, it can become an opportunity for growth.
And it improves communication. How?
Several ways. Active listening is huge. Full attention, understanding, not just replying.
Reflecting and validating emotions, showing you get it. Sounds like you're feeling frustrated.
Exactly. It makes people feel validated. And nonverbal communication, body language, tone, expression, conveying empathy. Eye contact, leaning in, nodding.
So empathetic communication deepens connections, helps navigate tough talks gracefully. Okay, how do we cultivate it? How do we get better at empathy?
Again, it's a skill. Practice helps.
Yeah.
Foundational step. Practice active listening.
Full focus, no distractions, listen to understand emotions and needs, not just to reply.
Precisely. Eye contact, no interrupting. Focus on their experience, not your response. It makes a massive difference in how hurt people feel.
Putting yourself in their shoes, perspective taking.
Yes. Actively trying to imagine their experience. How would I feel? Stepping outside your own view, regularly doing this makes you more attuned.
Observing nonverbal cues, body language, tone, expression.
So important. People don't always say what they feel, but their body often does. Noticing a colleague is tense, even if they say they're fine, lets you adjust your approach, maybe offer support.
Being open-minded and non-judgmental, suspending judgment, accepting their feelings as valid, even if different from yours.
Crucial. Listen without evaluating. Accept their perspective is their perspective.
And sharing your own vulnerability, how does that help empathy?
It encourages reciprocity, creates a safe space for mutual understanding. Vulnerability isn't weakness. It's a strength that deepens relationships and fosters empathy between people.
Okay, makes sense. Let's move to chapter 6, social skills. That feeling when you meet someone and instantly click, or they just put you totally at ease.
Yeah, that immediate rapport, It's often down to strong social skills. But it's not just about being charming or working a crowd.
No, what is it then?
It's about meaningful connection. Understanding others, collaborating, nurturing healthy relationships, personally and professionally. It's the practical application of empathy and self-awareness.
So social skills are vital for EQ. Building rapport, communicating clearly, resolving conflicts, inspiring cooperation.
All of that. They're key for career and personal success. Imagine engaging confidently, handling tricky social stuff gracefully, forging genuine connections.
That's pretty good.
It is. So this chapter is about that their importance in EQ, how mastering them improves relationships, collaboration, leadership, revealing the secrets behind people who make socializing look easy.
Okay, let's define them first. Social skills are behaviors and strategies for interacting effectively and harmoniously.
Broadly, yes. A whole set of abilities, communication, listening, empathy, conflict resolution. They help us navigate human interaction, build relationships, manage interactions.
Understanding people, reading social cues, knowing how to respond, meaningful conversations, building trust, influencing positively, handling conflict.
Exactly. There are several key components. Effective communication, expressing yourself clearly, active listening, understanding others' views.
Conflict resolution, managing disagreements for understanding, not escalation.
Influence and persuasion, inspiring, motivating, guiding towards common goals ethically.
Collaboration, working well with others through trust, cooperation, respect.
And emotional awareness in social contexts, recognizing and responding sensitively to others' emotions.
So basically, navigating complex human interaction, making people comfortable, managing conflict constructively, creating belonging. Why are they so crucial for EQ specifically?
Because they are the practical application of the other four components in the real world. They bridge emotional awareness and action.
Ah, okay. They let you use your self-awareness and empathy in social settings.
Precisely. They're essential for building and maintaining relationships, fostering trust, respect, communication.
They help navigate social dynamics, reading the room, gauging emotions, responding smoothly.
Yes, and foster collaboration, motivating, aligning interests, building relationships for collective success.
And enhance leadership and influence, connecting, inspiring, resolving conflicts, creating empowering environments.
Absolutely. Social skills turn EQ understanding into real-world positive action.
Okay, let's look closer at some key components and how to develop them. Effective communication, you said it's not just talking.
Definitely not. Listening is arguably more important for relationships, really focusing on the underlying emotions and needs, being fully engaged, no distractions, reflecting back understanding.
And when speaking, clarity, conciseness.
Yes, avoid jargon, over-explaining, simple but complete, and nonverbal communication, body language, facial expression, tone needs to match your words. Be open, approachable.
Conflict resolution. It's inevitable, but handling it well makes the difference. How?
First, stay calm and composed. Avoid impulsive reactions. Second, acknowledge the other person's feelings, validate their perspective before sharing yours. Creates collaboration.
Focus on solutions, not blame. How can we resolve this?
Exactly. And find common ground. Areas you do agree on, build from there.
Building rapport and trust, essential for relationships. How?
Be authentic. People trust genuine individuals. Be reliable, follow through, be dependable, show genuine interest in others, get to know them, ask about their lives. Feeling seen and valued builds trust.
Influence and persuasion, not manipulation, but guiding ethically towards shared goals.
Right. First, understand others' needs, their goals, concerns, values. Then present solutions that meet mutual needs, not just demands. And use positive reinforcement, recognize efforts and contributions.
Okay, mastering social skills sounds like a powerful way to boost EQ and relationships for everyone, not just extroverts.
Absolutely. It's about practice communication, conflict resolution, rapport building, positive influence. Now let's move to chapter 7, applying emotional intelligence in real life.
Yeah.
We know the components. Now, how do we do it?
Exactly. Understanding is one thing. Consistent practice is another. Imagine having that inner compass for any situation. Big meeting, tough conversation, just self-reflection.
Navigating it with ease, confidence, grace. Using these skills intentionally to transform things.
That's the goal. So this chapter, practical tools, actionable strategies, integrating EQ into daily routines, stress, relationships, work. Let's start with the power of self-awareness in action.
Right. Applying it means more than just knowing you feel mad. It's understanding how your emotions, thoughts, behaviors affect your life and interactions. Recognizing patterns, triggers, deeper reasons.
Like in that work meeting. Recognizing the frustration, but pausing to choose a response instead of reacting.
Exactly. So Practical application. Keep that journal. Daily reflection on emotions, what caused them. Notice patterns. Gain insights into how feelings influence decisions.
Mindfulness practice. Cultivating present moment awareness. Tuning into emotions without judgment. Responding from clarity.
And asking for feedback. Getting that external perspective on how you come across. Identifying blind spots. More awareness equals more control, more effective management.
Okay, then self-regulation. Managing emotions in real time. This sounds incredibly valuable. Emotional control for thoughtful action over impulse.
Think. Staying calm in stress. Responding with dignity to insults. How do we practice this daily?
Pause before reacting. That brief moment to breathe when emotions flare up steps you out of automatic reaction, lets you think. Even one deep breath before replying makes a difference.
Reframe negative thoughts. Manage thoughts alongside emotions. See challenges in a more positive light. This is tough, but I can handle it, instead of this is impossible. Adjusting mindset gives control.
Develop healthy outlets for stress. Manage the physical response. Yoga, exercise, deep breathing. Regular practice helps regulate emotions better day to day, prepares you for challenges. Consistent self-regulation brings composure, resilience, focus.
Okay, now the role of motivation in applying emotional intelligence. It's the fuel. Drives action, persistence, overcomes obstacles, bridges emotional control and real-world success.
Right. How do we use motivation to put EQ into action? Set clear, meaningful goals, align with values, passions. Easier to stay motivated when it matters to you.
Visualize your success. Daily mental imagery. Picture achieving the goal. Feel the success. Powerful for focus, especially when it's tough.
Celebrate small wins. Acknowledge milestones. Builds momentum. Reinforces belief you can succeed. Motivation powers EQ by keeping you focused. Visualizing success. Celebrating progress.
Moving on to empathy. The key to understanding and connecting with others. How do we apply it practically?
Be present in conversations. Full attention, no distractions. Eye contact. Show you care.
Ask questions to understand. Seek clarification on perspectives and feelings. Don't just assume.
Offer emotional support. Comforting words, thoughtful gestures, just listening without trying to fix things. Practicing empathy deepens connections, creates supportive relationships.
And finally, social skills. Strengthening your relationships and building trust. Bridging EQ and real-world success, networking, leading, socializing, practical applications.
Be mindful of nonverbal communication. Ensure body language aligns with your message. Open, relaxed posture helps connect.
Develop active listening skills. Show you value others' thoughts and feelings. Nod, make eye contact, respond thoughtfully.
Be adaptable in different social situations. Adjust communication style to the context, casual chat versus formal meeting. Mastering social skills builds strong, trusting relationships, enhances communication, conflict resolution, inspires cooperation.
Okay, great practical tips. Now, Chapter 8, sustaining your emotional intelligence. We've learned the skills. How do we make them stick long term?
Good question. Understanding is great, applying is better, but making it a fundamental way of living. That's the real goal.
Because EQ isn't a destination, right? It's an ongoing, lifelong practice. Yeah. Emotions evolve, relationships change, life throws new challenges. You need to keep working on it.
So starting with the continuous process of self-awareness, still the foundation, needs constant nurturing. How do we sustain it?
Daily reflection.
Yeah.
End of day review. What emotions, triggers, how did I respond? Did it align with values? What could I do differently? Keeps you tuned in.
Practice mindfulness. Strengthens present moment awareness. Observe thoughts, emotions without judgment. Meditation, breathing, just focusing. Keeps you connected.
Get honest feedback. Keep asking trusted people for insights. Be open to constructive criticism. It's a tool for ongoing improvement. Self-awareness is a lifelong journey of understanding how emotions shape experience, leading to better choices.
Okay, then. Sustaining self-regulation through ongoing practice. Even if you're good at it, life tests you. Needs consistent effort. How?
Develop healthy stress management techniques proactively. Regular exercise, good sleep, healthy diet, yoga, meditation, deep breathing. Calms the nervous system, prevents outbursts.
Create emotional timeouts. Ability to pause is key. Feeling overwhelmed or heated, take a break, step away, walk, breathe. Regain composure, respond thoughtfully.
Revisit your triggers. Keep identifying situations, people, conflicts that cause reactions. Create strategies to handle them, calming techniques, boundaries, mental prep. Having a plan helps maintain regulation. Self-regulation needs ongoing attention to reinforce healthy habits.
Nurturing motivation, staying driven through life's ups and downs. Motivation needs regular nurturing, even intrinsic motivation. How long-term?
Reconnect with your why. Regularly remind yourself of the deeper reasons behind goals. Keeps you focused on what matters.
Celebrate progress, not perfection. Acknowledge small victories. Sustains motivation, prevents waiting for some huge end goal to feel good. Appreciate the journey.
Surround yourself with positive influences. People you spend time with matter. Seek out supportive, inspiring individuals. A strong network helps you stay motivated through challenges. Consistently nurture internal motivation for sustained drive.
Empathy. Continuing to build deep, meaningful connections. Empathy deepens over time, needs sustained engagement. How?
Listen more than you speak. Focus on truly hearing others. Put away distractions. Give them space.
Put yourself in others' shoes. Actively imagine their experience and interactions. Fosters compassion.
Be vulnerable. Share your feelings appropriately. Encourages reciprocity, mutual understanding, trust. Sustained emotional awareness and interactions leads to richer relationships.
And social skills. Refining your ability to build lasting relationships needs practice in various settings. How to keep sharp.
Practice active networking. Build and maintain professional personal connections. It's about relationships, mutual support.
Learn to adapt to different social contexts. Adjust communication style situationally. Refine your ability to read the room.
Seek feedback on your interactions. Ask for insights to adjust and improve. Social skills are a lifelong practice for lasting relationships and thriving socially. Now, Chapter 9, the long-term benefits. What are the big payoffs?
Right. After all this work, why does it matter down the road? The bigger picture. Well, it's a game changer for long-term happiness and well-being. The benefits are vast career, relationships, mental health.
And they compound over time, right?
Yeah.
Consistent practice makes it more natural. The positive impacts grow. Let's start with career success. Improved leadership isn't just giving orders.
No, it's understanding, inspiring. EQ is huge professionally. Skill and knowledge aren't enough. Connecting, managing stress, collaborating, leading with influence. EQ provides the tools.
A major long-term benefit, improved leadership. High EQ leaders motivate better, manage conflict, foster positive environments. They're attuned to team emotions, understand needs, make people feel valued, leads to engagement, productivity, lower turnover. Critical for leadership success.
Better decision-making, too. Considering emotional implications, not just logic.
Yes. Understanding your own and others' emotions prevents impulsive decisions driven by anxiety or frustration. You stay calm, think clearly, choose actions aligned with goals and team needs.
Effective conflict resolution. Handling workplace disagreements with grace.
Exactly. Regulating your own emotions, understanding others. Approach conflict with empathy. Willingness to understand different views. Easier to find win-win solutions. Leaving people feeling heard, respected, turns confrontation into collaboration.
And increased resilience. Bouncing back from setbacks.
Absolutely. Managing emotions effectively helps you recover from failure without losing confidence or motivation. You see challenges as learning opportunities. Maintains a positive forward focus. EQ builds career fulfillment and success. Okay, shifting to personal relationships, this is where EQ really shines, right? Deeper connections.
Totally. Romantic partners, family, friends. EQ is key for deep, meaningful, lasting connections. It starts with understanding feelings.
Deeper connections come from that mutual understanding. Empathy, active listening, foster trust. Leads to more open, honest communication, the foundation of lasting bonds.
Better communication generally. Expressing feelings clearly, sensitively, fewer misunderstandings.
Yes. Articulating your thoughts respectfully, considering others' emotions, leads to more constructive conversations.
Stronger conflict resolution at home, too. Managing disagreements productively, not letting emotions drive things.
Right. Approaching disagreements calmly, level-headedly. Focusing on solutions, not blame. Working through issues collaboratively strengthens the bond.
Increased empathy makes people feel heard, respected, supported, creates emotional safety.
Definitely. It strengthens relationships immensely.
And healthier boundaries. Attuned to your own needs, communicating them effectively. Saying no without guilt.
Yes. Balancing caring for others with self-care. The long-term benefits in personal life are profound. More fulfilling, supportive connections. And finally, mental health. Understanding and regulating emotions reduces stress, anxiety, burnout risk, enhances well-being.
It's a powerful tool for managing mental health challenges, building emotional resilience. Reduce stress and anxiety is a big one.
How does EQ help there?
You become aware of your triggers, how stress manifests, allows proactive management, relaxation techniques, breaks, self-care. Regulating emotions reduces stress's negative impact long-term.
Better emotional regulation overall.
Yep.
Managing difficult feelings like frustration, anger, sadness constructively.
Yes, instead of being overwhelmed, you develop healthier responses. Reduces risk of outbursts, irrational decisions, unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Increase resilience to adversity. Emotional strength to navigate life's challenges.
Right. Personal crises, setbacks, changes. EQ helps maintain balance, perspective. Weather the storm, learn, move forward positively.
And improve self-esteem. More comfortable with yourself, accepting imperfections, recognizing strengths.
Yes. Increased self-acceptance boosts confidence. Helps face challenges with more ease, stronger self-belief. Prioritizing EQ improves long-term mental health, builds resilience, cultivates a positive mindset, leads to a more fulfilling, peaceful life.
So as you keep practicing, these long-term rewards really take shape, influencing career, relationships, well-being. It's a lifelong journey of growth, benefits compounding over time.
Okay, chapter 10, practical applications and real-world examples. How does this stuff actually look day-to-day?
Exactly. Theory is one thing, seeing it work is another. EQ is an abstract. Practice consistently, it has tangible impact everywhere. Workplace, relationships, daily routines.
Mm.
It shapes experience. Its beauty is in the practical application, enhancing communication, dealing with challenges, fostering connection.
So, this chapter, how to use EI daily. Real examples, concrete strategies, taking these tools and creating real positive change. Let's start with emotional intelligence in the workplace.
Okay. Professionally, EQ impacts everything. Teamwork, leadership, client communication. Managing emotions is key to effectiveness and success. Let's look at specifics.
How about leading with emotional intelligence? Managing a team, fast pace, pressure, conflicts could easily arise. How does EI help a leader keep things cohesive, motivated?
By being attuned to team members' emotions, responding with empathy, understanding challenges, providing support. For example, if a team member seems overwhelmed,
an EI leader checks in privately, offers support, guidance, creates a safe space for sharing concerns without judgment, adjusts communication style, positive reinforcement during stress, delivering feedback compassionately.
Keeps the team motivated, productive, builds trust, psychological safety, leads to collaboration, morale, performance. It's critical for leadership success, not just nice. Now, navigating workplace conflict.
Conflict happens. Different ideas, priorities clash. But how you handle it matters. Imagine team tension over project direction. How does EI help mediate?
First, recognize emotions are high but don't have to control things. Stay calm yourself, don't react impulsively, listen attentively, validate feelings.
Approach colleagues with empathy. I see why this matters to you. Create space for dialogue. Shift focus from right-wrong to solutions.
Exactly. Focus on collaborative problem solving, emphasizing everyone's needs and ideas. Stay objective. Facilitate constructive conversation even when it's heated. Turns potential setbacks into opportunities for teamwork, communication.
Okay, and enhancing customer service with empathy. Interacting with clients, especially upset ones.
Crucial to be attuned to their emotions. Client upset because something didn't meet expectations. Handle it with empathy.
Instead of defensiveness, listen. Acknowledge feelings. I understand why you're upset.
Yes. Validation de-escalates. Builds rapport. Then, work collaboratively on a solution refund, replacement, meeting needs. Showing you care resolves the issue and strengthens the relationship, builds loyalty, transforms negative experiences. Clients remember how you made them feel.
Great examples. Now, shifting to emotional intelligence and personal relationships, building those deeper connections.
Absolutely vital here. Family, partners, friends. EQ is the foundation. Let's start with deepening your romantic relationships.
EQ creates safety. Feeling heard, valued, understood helps overcome communication challenges.
Yes. If one partner is upset but doesn't communicate it, confusion or hurt can result. EI helps recognize and address these unspoken emotions.
So if you notice something's off, you approach sensitively, something seems wrong, want to talk, not reacting defensively.
Exactly. Regulate your own emotions, keep it calm, productive. When both partners practice EI, issues get addressed proactively. Fosters trust, intimacy.
Okay. Strengthening family bonds. Family emotions run deep. Disagreements, different perspectives, supporting each other. EI helps navigate complex dynamics.
Definitely. Imagine a heated family argument. Someone's upset, others frustrated. With EI, you can de-escalate. Acknowledge everyone's feelings. Create space to be heard.
Like saying, tensions are high, I get why you're frustrated. Let's calm down, then find a way forward. Using empathy, active listening.
Yes. Helps work through conflict respectfully, preserves relationships while addressing issues.
And enhancing friendships. They need nurturing, too. EI helps stay attuned to friends' unspoken needs. maintain support through ups and downs.
Right. Friend going through a tough time, breakup, loss. EI helps offer the right support. Not fixing, but listening, validating emotions, offering comfort.
Sorry you're going through this. I'm here. What would be most helpful? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Strengthens friendships. Makes friends feel understood, cared for. Creates lasting, meaningful connections.
And beyond big relationships, emotional intelligence in everyday life, grocery shopping, traffic jams.
Yes. Helps navigate daily situations calmly. Let's take managing everyday stress. Delays, crowds, minor hassles. EI stops you getting overwhelmed or reactive.
Stuck in traffic. Instead of fuming, practice mindfulness. Breathe. Listen to something calming. Stay balanced. Prevent stress affecting your mood or interactions.
Exactly. And engaging in polite social interactions. Even brief chats with strangers benefit. Being aware of their potential emotions, reading cues, adjusting tone, body language.
Offering a compliment, patience in line, a kind smile, small moments of connection.
Yes, makes the world a bit better.
Yeah.
Now, chapter 11, mastering emotional intelligence in challenging situations.
Okay, the really tough stuff, big challenges, minor ones. Emotions always play a part. Managing them well distinguishes surviving from thriving.
Absolutely. EI is key to mastering difficult moments, facing adversity not as a victim, but with composure, intention, and growth. We'll look at examples, practical techniques for balance and resilience. Let's start with emotional intelligence and conflict resolution again, but deepen it.
Workplace conflict example. Two colleagues clash, tension rises. How does EI help master this?
First, step back. Recognize emotions are high, but don't have to control things. Stay calm yourself despite your own feelings. Don't react impulsively.
Goal isn't picking sides, but listening, validating feelings. Approaching with empathy. I see why this matters to you. Creating safety for dialogue.
Yes. Shifting focus from right to finding mutual solutions. Emphasize everyone's needs. Facilitate constructive conversation, even when heated. Stay objective. Guide towards collaboration. Turn setback into opportunity for teamwork.
Now, personal conflict with a loved one. Big disagreement spiraling out of control. How does EI help de-escalate, protect the relationship?
First, recognize your own triggers. Feeling attacked, hurt, defensive, aware of your state, choose not to let raw emotion react.
Instead of raising your voice, saying regrettable things, use empathy. Active listening. Validate their feelings even if you disagree. I understand why you're upset.
Exactly. When both feel heard, finding common ground is easier. Productive dialogue, not winning. Build understanding, strengthen the relationship long term, addresses the issue, and protects the bond.
Okay, emotional intelligence and stressful situations. Focus on maintaining composure under pressure. High pressure work, deadlines, high stakes meetings. Emotions run high. How does EI help manage?
Critical deadline, things going wrong, stress mounting. EI means stepping back, recognizing stress as temporary reaction, not destiny.
Yeah.
Acknowledge anxiety, but don't let it overwhelm. Reframe pressure as motivation.
Use mindful breathing. Focus. Ground yourself in the present. Create mental space to process calmly, think clearly. Use self-regulation to stay in control.
Yes. And maintain positivity. Focus on solutions, not just problems. What can you control? Break down overwhelming tasks. Proactive mindset lowers stress, keeps focus on the goal. Avoid overwhelm, make strategic decisions under pressure, builds resilience.
And personal life challenges, health problems, family crisis, financial struggles. Easy to feel helpless. How does EI offer an empowering approach?
Instead of being consumed by worry or despair, manage the emotional response. First, acknowledge and accept the feelings, don't deny them. Then practice self-regulation to avoid clouded judgment.
Financial crisis example. EI helps stay grounded, analytical, not panicked, step back, analyze logically. You control your response, if not the circumstance.
Precisely. Focus on what you can influence, cut expenses, seek advice, explore options, take empowered steps, handles the challenge and builds resilience, builds emotional stamina for future challenges. Finally, emotional intelligence in health and wellness.
Beyond conflict and stress. Crucial for overall well-being, persistent stress, unmanaged anxiety, harm health. EI protects health, cultivates balance. Let's look at preventing burnout.
Big concern today, demanding careers, family. Key is managing emotions and stress proactively. EI helps recognize early warning signs, overwhelmed, disengaged, exhausted, and take action.
Feeling drained at work. EI encourages self-care. Taking breaks, saying no, delegating. Self-regulation avoids pushing past limits. Self-awareness spots the limits.
Yes. Keeps burnout at bay, maintains well-being for long-term performance.
And managing chronic stress, which harms health, long-term anxiety, depression, cardiovascular issues.
EI helps stay attuned to stress levels. Recognizing it early allows action before physical toll. Develop healthy coping mechanisms.
Instead of unhealthy habits like overeating, turn to mindfulness, meditation, deep breathing. Regulate emotional reactions effectively.
Exactly. Improves ability to manage chronic stress, protects long-term physical and mental health.
Okay, bringing this deep dive to a close. The power of EI seems immense, shaping personal, professional lives, improving with practice, transforming how we interact.
And it's a lifelong journey, right? Not a one-time fix, continuous learning and growth.
So, reflecting on the pillars, self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, social skills, the foundation for navigating challenges, building relationships.
Thrives when integrated daily. Acknowledge emotions without judgment, respond with empathy, practice self-regulation, turns challenges into growth opportunities.
Key takeaways. Keep reflecting on emotions, triggers. Practice self-regulation. Stay calm. Choose responses. Find purpose. Stay driven through setbacks. Listen. Understand others' emotions for connection. Cultivate social skills for easier navigation.
Keep growing by mindfully practicing daily work, home, community. Be patient. It takes time and effort.
Final thought. EI isn't just skills. It's a way of living. Leads to deeper connections, clear decisions, greater fulfillment.
Keep practicing, keep growing. Watch it transform your world. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Your journey's just begun. These skills will serve you well. Stay committed. The more you practice, the better you'll navigate life with confidence and grace. Thank you.